Spread Film Radio. Sarajevo Film Festival, Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Natasha Sinjanović here from the 20th Sarajevo Film Festival. I'm talking to Čedomir Kolar, who is by day a producer, and by festival here in Sarajevo is wearing many hats. I should say, a producer of some of my favorite films, Train of Life, and of course the films of Dani Stanović, and The Lunchbox most recently. But you are here to take part in a regional forum. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this was the first time, because whenever I come, I always tell them, use me for whatever you want, from Talent Campus to this time regional forum. It was very interesting because we all know that Sarajevo is the regional top event, and it has a huge credibility, and on the top of it, a lot of people are coming here. So this time it was very interesting because it was regional forum, but it was open to UK and to Mexico. UK is this year's partner and the main cinematography this year, as it was French 2 years ago, last year I don't remember. So the thing was just to understand, how can we expand the region? Because what was interesting was that it was not only expanding this region, but expanding co-productions of another region, which is Council of Europe and Eurimage, and expanding Eurimage out of these frontiers of about 40 countries or 41, something like that.
Right, because the title was Within International Productions, How to Export the European Model, Co-Production Model, Overseas.
So basically what we had, I don't want to be rude with my other participants, but they were mostly people which are on day-to-day basis, let's call them illuminated bureaucrats, which were telling us some precise, giving us some precise information regarding how Croatia is moving, what is new in their fund, what is new in Eurimage, what is new in British Film Institute, BFI, etc., etc. And in a certain way, I found myself like a freelancer in there, and I was talking about my experience because I was sufficiently lucky to do my career in France, which is in a certain way the most open-minded cinematography and the best organized cinematography without too heavy bureaucratic approach.
The best and most organized in Europe or in general in the world?
In the way, I must say, regarding both the industry and the audience in the world. Yes, I can state this now, because just to give you my answer, I produced over 20 films in 25 years that I'm based in Paris, and not one of these movies was French, either French language apart from Train de Vie, but then again, it was a strange...
Right, it was a Romanian director.
And the Jewish story, we couldn't do it in Yiddish, because it's like making films in Latin language, so we leave this to
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. So we did it in French, but it was a rotten French spoken with accent, etc., etc. So I don't think that there is a country in Europe, at least, that would permit somebody to exist as a producer, to produce some of, certainly, I think, masterpieces. In the first place, I put always my No Man's Land and Before the Rain, but The Lunchbox now also, I do think it's a little masterpiece.
I would put Train of Life there as well, Train de Vie.
Yes,
I really love that film.
Yes.
I mean, all four of those films are...
Yes, you're absolutely right. So, how can I tell you? I made films from Kyrgyzstan, I made films from Bosnia, I made films from India, I made films from Africa. And so I tried to explain to these people that however they take it, about whichever region we speak, we must feel that it has its limits, that it is too tight for us, maybe too small also, so that you have to expand, you have to break the frontiers, you have to break the rules, you have to learn a lot. And especially, I think, in a certain moment, I was thinking that I'm like a doctor, that in medicine, you have to be permanently informed what's new, what's going on. And we are not far from that. If you want to produce out of your own countries, as Croatia once was completely autarkic, because you could get money from the fund and money from television, you didn't need anything. This changed also, thank God. But that you have to be permanently informed and you have to permanently exercise how to do it. And I think that the two things which Europe and especially France, as the porte-drapeau, as we say, like they're bringing high their flag, which we have never to forget to fight for. One is cultural exception, and the other one is authors' rights against copyright. And these are the things which all of us French, we feel deeply, that once these barriers are going to fall, we will not have our own cinematographies anymore. Regardless of the audience, because you have always certain things that cross over, certain things that stay inside, certain things that nobody will ever see. But it's always the question, are we making too many movies? This is a terrible question. Who can answer to this question? You see what I mean? But as long as we have these safeguards, and the main two for me is cultural exception, protecting cultural products in your own language, to protect your exception through the language in the first place and the culture, plus the author's rights, I think that protect them and protect what they make are the two really strong points which we have to fight for.
As you pointed out, I mean, The Lunchbox is a perfect example of that, because you are a European producer based in France. You're an ex-Yugoslavian producer, let's say, Slovenian producer. You're a regional producer based in France who made a film that was very, very Indian. I mean, Indian in terms of the cast and the language.
Everything.
And there was nothing about it. The story was universal, but there was nothing about the film that you could say, oh, well, you know, they put an American actor in there just because, or a French actor in there just because that's where the money was coming from.
Making these famous puddings, you know.
Yeah.
But I can tell you one thing. This is a perfect example of what was my philosophy from the beginning, in a way. Let's call it my approach, prefer to say, is that more you're local, more you have a chance to become international. And that was one of the first things that I spoke with the director when I met him, and the project was still in development at the synopsis, or let's say treatment base. And then Ritesh is sufficiently intelligent to understand what I meant. I think he felt it. And at the end of the day, it's true. It's just a story with two Hindi characters which speak a mixture of Hindi and sometimes English, but this is what is a specificity of India, and especially Bombay.
Yeah, and most viewers won't know just how big a star Irfan Khan is.
But you see, the fact is that in my eyes, he became a star when I saw what he did in the film. And the same with Nimrat Kaur, which was basically her second feature. And if you think that in this film, they never meet. And you can make a huge, because this is the biggest box office success of all the movies I made. And it came at the moment when the company that we have together with Danis in Paris, we had problems like all the independent companies. Now we put our head out of water. And this was, you know, 500,000 admissions in France. It's a huge success. 59 countries bought the film. And the film everywhere was successful, more or less. It was for 5 weeks the most successful foreign language film in America. I mean, we went over $8 million of box office, you know, for this. So now you see, Ritesh became a kind of star. He was immediately approached by all the agents and managements and things like that, sufficiently intelligent to understand that we are not made for that system. You see what I mean? There are people which choose to accept that system, to become part of it. They're their own choice. There are people which don't, their own choice. And Ritesh found the middle way, because he's now adapting something for Film 4, English-speaking. He's adapting a book, and he has his own new project, which is completely Indian, and he has always a very beautiful pitch about it, which he says, it's a story about two ugly people in Bombay.
And you'll be producing as well?
I do hope so, yes, yes. I think I will co-produce it at least, but, you know, I would sign now forever that I will work with Ritesh.
You also said something interesting in the forum discussion, that there's a lot of talk of this European spirit, and, you know, and again, like we said, it was called exporting the European model overseas for co-productions. But you also said, let's not forget that, especially here in this territory, there was a war very recently. So what exactly does the European spirit mean? There's also should be an examination, stepping back and maybe not using the word so lightly, because it could mean any number of things.
But you see, what I do not like is when you want to export these kind of things, because it's always very dangerous. We should never forget our history. And we are all scared how this history can be repeated and how people are stupid and forgetting. As I never liked to export American way of thinking and life and seeing politics and democracy. So we have to be very careful. But in the same time, I think that Europe has some bases which are absolutely essential for the human life and for the civil living. And I think that we should, first of all, secure them at home and then try to export them. And I think that culture, which if you think now, we are a developed continent, less, more or less, we found a way to live together, and more people are getting into the family. It's very controversial, but in the same time, it's a fact. And this is something that we could, but because what we know from Europe, where Europe shines, is culture. And it has a completely different shine than American culture, how it is exported and how it looks like. And I tend to say something, this world is sufficiently big to accept Coca-Cola and very good French wine. So I think that there is space for both. But we have to be conscious for what we are exporting and why we are doing it. I mean, let's say we are opening minds to people more than anything else. And I think that this is necessary.
One last question. I know you're here on a jury. I'm not going to ask you for the winners because they'll be announced later on. But can you tell us a little bit about the jury that you're on?
I'm in the jury of Cinelink, which are the projects, which is much nicer, I must tell you, than to judge the finished films. And I must say, I consider myself as a kind of part of the furniture of this festival, because it's from the beginning, I think it was 13, 14 years ago that Cinelink started, I'm sitting on that jury. And most of us are there since the beginning. And so it's a kind of family business, in a way. We understand each other. But there were huge differences between the first years, where it was like a lot of amateurism, not understanding the things, not only judging the projects, but also giving some basic information on how you should do your movies, how you should produce them, how you should develop them. That changed completely. And then I saw how huge was the impact of all these workshops and things that are going on through whole Europe, which completely changed the attitude of the producers. They are so realistic now, because before, I remember, all the projects were €1.5 million, now they're half. Everybody wants to co-produce with France and Germany. Now they have a different vision, they know better how they should structure all this. And at the point of view, you know, more and more we are getting these projects which are, as I said, be local to be international. And I think, I mean, the level of projects are changing every year. This year, for example, we have a real cut between half pretty bad, half very good. But this happened this year. Maybe next year there are going to be many bad and few good, and etc., etc.
So that's just the luck of the draw. So it depends on what's come out.
What's going on? But it gives me a huge hope that things are going to go well, because, you know, our business and our way of making movies is changing so much, you know, now with the internet, with digital, with all this. But I think that the basic approach, telling stories, will always stay. I mean, theater and opera, they are protected from all this, but the cinema, as a cinematographic language, has to adapt itself. But the good side is that you can make now movies for less money, if you have something to say. The best example is Iron Picker by Dani Stanovic, which was €30,000 film. But if you have to say something, you will find a way to say it. Because before it was just not possible. Right. It was, you know, you would make a short film or a documentary on Super 8 or 16 millimeters or even on first DV cams. But now you can do it. Now you can do it. And this gives me hope that the things are going to be always better. Directors, they feel more free. Mm-hmm. They're breaking barriers. They're talking the language, which probably because we are not living in the same kind of democracies, which can break the rules. Mm-hmm. They're courageous.
They contaminate each other in the best possible ways.
I think that that's right. It's a beautiful contamination.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you so
welcome.
Much for talking to us.
Thank you so much.
I've been talking to Čedomir Kolar, the producer, who is here at the 20th Sarajevo Film Festival as part of the Cinelink program, both in the jury of the Cinelink Works in Progress program and the regional forums as a panelist. And you're listening to Fred Film Radio, the festival insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.